Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am Cheryl Glick, your host, and with us today is Sarah Wiseman, author of Writing the Divine. Hello, Sarah.
Oh, hi, Cheryl. Nice to be here back with you.
And I want to give one other story of distant healing, because this happened when I was I didn't even understand how distant healing was possible, to be very honest with you. And when I say God was a philosophical thought, I now know that he and his workers and the energy, whatever we want to call it, are around all of us all of the time and working with us if we ask and allow it. So I'm going to tell you a story about my own son, and his name is Greg. He was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 22 years old. Right? First thing that happened, and he had to learn to deal with that. Now, he's living down in California, and I get a call from him, and he says to me, you know, I have this pain under my arm. So I said to him, well, you're going for a checkup. Have the doctor check it. And he did, and he calls me. I had just gotten back from a trip to Alaska, and he calls me, and he says, Mom, they want to do a biopsy. There's two lumps under my arm. Uh-huh. And I felt my stomach sink to the ground, you know, the way when you've been
punched
in the stomach. So I said, okay, Greg, I'm going to fly out. So he says to me, don't fly out till I have to get the results. Just, I'll go with my friend. My friend Timmy is going to go with me. And I had just gotten back. He was just having it, so it was kind of hairy to just fly out. So he had it done on my birthday, which was September 16th, and it was the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Jewish holiday. So there were a lot of things going on here. And it was 2 weeks from the time I found out about this until he actually had the biopsy. And I had asked my healing circle, many students, to please send energy and thought to him, not understanding distant healing very well. And that day at 3 o'clock when he was being operated on, I put my arm under my left arm where he was having the surgery, and I prayed and I sent the energy. I did everything that I knew to do, and all of a sudden I felt like a breaking up, like it was like something was exploding, and a green gel was coming in and soothing the area, and I had no idea what it meant.
Amazing. Yes.
It's amazing, right? And I then got in the car. And I was driving to my sister's house for the holiday, and he called. Greg called, and he said, it's over. And I said, did you talk to the doctor? Because I know some doctors have a sense of what's happening, even though they don't have the biopsy, the actual biopsy. They have a feeling that there's a smell or there's a color. They have a sense. And I said, did you talk to him? He said, no, and it'll take a week before the information comes back. I said, okay, I'm glad everything went well. And you know what? In a few minutes, he called me back, and he said the doctor came in and said to him there was nothing to send out. There was only scar tissue. And I started to cry because I said, I had said to the divine earlier, if you let my son be all right, I will thank you every day of my life and do whatever I can to be of service. And there it was, and there it was. And so for our listeners, that is distant healing, I think, at its most perfect, from a person who didn't even understand what it meant.
Yes.
So love can do those things. And I wanted to go on to something that you need to address here. You mentioned Jerry and Esther Hicks a little earlier. And I recently gave a book, The Law of Attraction, to one of my clients. And she came in a few days later, and she told me she was scared to death by the beginning of the book, which described how Esther received this information from a spiritual guide. So I said to her, why are you frightened by this? Every time you come to me for a session, I give you two pages of written information that I'm channeling from either loved ones or go out of Rangers? Or, and she responded, well, you're not scary, and I know you. So we're just going to address this. It is very hard for many people to accept the fact that life exists beyond this earth plane, and that and this is a reality, and we are connected to it. It's very hard for people to get this concept. So, Sarah, can you describe which people in spirit we might be hearing from when we are meditating or channeling or receiving information of any kind? Which people? Mm-hmm. There are several different ways mm-hmm. we could think about this, and we can't always be sure of what's going on at any given moment.
You know, I teach workshops and do private training on this quite a bit, and when I'm helping people connect with their guides, and what usually happens, I would say 99.9% is that the first time people go in, whether they're training with me or somebody else, or if they're just, you know, asking on their own, they're usually going to meet one of their core spirit guides, and most people have 3 to 4, I don't know, it kind of depends, but it's a small number. What I find, and, you know, this might just be how it works for me, but it's worked so consistently for me, I'm just going to share how it works for me. I've got an earth guide named Hajam, and he's a very, he's quite the character. He's from India in the past. He's bald. No offense to him. He's short.
Yeah, that's how he is.
He's super funny, and he's sort of a guide that I have really easy conversation with day to day on all my earth stuff, you know, money, family, weight loss, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got some other guides that are super, super tall. They're kind of these twinned beings, or sometimes they appear as one. They're taller than the ceiling by far. They're very pale. And these seem to be a kind of spiritual teacher. So you've got kind of an earth guide, then a spiritual teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've also got what I call like my mystic helper, or this guide helps me when I'm doing mediumship work. If someone was, you know, ill or dying or working with the departed or kind of working with transitions between the realms. My son, this guide for him is almost like a warrior protector. So I haven't quite got a proper category. It's something like someone who helps with the transitions between realms. But these guides show up so consistently for me and for other people in these kind of the earth, the spiritual, the transitions categories. Many people receive angels. I had a woman yesterday who was not at all Christian and received Jesus so fully. She said, I kind of flipped out. I was like, I can understand that. Pretty powerful presence. And she said that Jesus first showed up with a book, and then she began to see Jesus with all the incarnations into modern times, so that Jesus was holding an iPad, and then Jesus went into the future holding some kind of new contraption that we don't even, you know what it is yet. And just this soul presence, you know, through earth time, continually coming down, you know, regardless of if you're Christian or whatever you're
saying. No, it doesn't matter.
Right, and so... Yeah, so a lot of times Jesus or
other religious figures could be guides.
Angels.
Yeah. Let me review that, because everything you said is absolutely correct, and I have observed in my own training, my own use of energy, these types of guides. So there are spirit guides or holy people, you would consider Jesus, who can... teachers who can bring messages. There are angels who can bring messages. There are other higher vibrational beings. You just described the tall ones who are spiritual beings or teachers can bring messages. And people who have passed on before, such as ancestors and dead relatives, can bring messages. And these messages for our listeners can come in the form of visions, premonition songs or music healing or music healing energies that might be felt in the body. And we can also hear from the larger universe, cosmos, the source, the divine, or maybe even God may bring these messages. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. is very hard, I believe, for any medium, channeler, or religious figure to really know at any given time what's coming in, because it's so fast, and they're all working together. At one time, you may have one messenger, and another time, you may have another source of information coming in from an angel, a guide, a holy person. So they're all available to all of us, and for those of us who, go on.
Oh,
Sarah.
I wanted to add, too, my little dog in the other room is telepathically saying to me, and I'm very serious about that, he's saying, don't forget the animals, because many people receive from spirit animals who come in that form. And that's a really powerful, like this whole idea of the totem animal and the animal messenger. Anyway, he just wanted to make sure they were represented.
Well, since he said that, I really want to say something. I have a book that I found years ago. And I would find whenever I did a reading, if a certain animal would appear in the reading, I would go to this book and I would read the attributes and the chant that was, there was a whole page of information, but I would especially focus on the magical attributes and the chant, and it would give more information to the client, and they were so grateful. It was so powerful for them. So, yes, thank you for bringing up the animals. They are actually divine also,
absolutely.
Caretakers of life energy and force, and that was great. And, Sarah, let's go on to describe what people might physically feel when channeling. The physical feeling.
So that was a bit worrisome for me at the beginning. It settled down a lot, but I used to have, I think people might call it like the Kundalini awakening. When I was first channeling, I would have convulsive shudderings, and this was mostly at the beginning. It was like a big cracking open of me and a big awakening, and it was pretty intense. So I might be sitting channeling and my body would start to shake or my teeth would start to chatter.
You'd get cold.
I get really cold. Some people get hot. I don't get hot, but from now.
I get both.
Even when I'm doing, I keep a blanket around, at my desk to do readings. I just wrap it on. I'm like, okay, I'm ready, because otherwise my teeth will chatter and my hands will shake and I can't, manage the session as well. So, but it's much less, and knowing what to expect, I think that it's just a rising from one energy level to a higher energy level, and so our body just has a physical reaction. I don't think it's anything to worry about.
Nothing to worry about, no.
Yeah.
It's just giving us the information, and I know when I give the information out, the way I receive it, the minute I do, say I feel pain in my heart or a shaking in my hand like someone had Parkinson's, the minute I say what it is, it's gone. But
if I
don't say it, it continues a little longer because, like your dog just wanted to give you a message, they want us also to give the message and not forget it. So let's go on to what are the benefits of channeling and connecting to divine energy? Why do so many of us spend so much time and effort in doing this work? What do we want to achieve? I know what we want, but what do we want to achieve?
In my workshop the other day, I had everyone put their hands over their ears and shut their eyes and exist that way. And I explained to them, when you have your eyes closed and your ears shut, that's what it's like to go through normal, practical, rational earth life with your senses shut down. When you open to the divine, it's like you're truly awake, you're truly conscious,
you're living in a whole different way. It's the difference between having a beat up old car, junker car, and some, I don't know,
spark fancy new one.
New, yeah, and it's just like how fast do you want to go in your life, and how happy do you want to be, and how satisfied and fulfilled and connected and brimming with love do you want to be? And
Sarah,
finds a way to take you there.
I think we are entitled. It is our destiny to have the most wonderful life. We're not here to suffer. We're here to develop. And I think the benefits of channeling and connecting to divine energy could be as great as bliss, health, prosperity, love, peace, and a general sense of happiness. And what are these signs? What's the signs? When you see someone who's smiling easily, who's laughing freely, who's can close their eyes, yet they're not sleepy because they're peaceful and happy. They can have their body tingle or vibrate. They can have a sense of expansiveness in the chest and lightness or floating and be relaxed yet highly alert. And the heart can be at peace. These are all signs that you and I feel on a regular basis. You can feel safe no matter where you are. And you don't feel as much physical pain. And another beautiful dimension of bliss is you have this sense of divine grace, and you just have this sense of altered consciousness, and you are just so grateful to be aware of the truth of who you are as a spiritual being having a physical life. And that where they can go, and everyone can go if they want to put aside some of their fears. That's the hope.
And you can be free entirely of fear and anxiety and pain and anger. Those things can just become the past for you.
They
you don't have to
consume
you. Those at all.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the choice, to either be consumed in suffering or to live in divine energy of prosperity and bliss. That's the choice for everyone.
That's exactly right.
Now, Sarah, in your book, Writing the Divine, in the beginning, I want to break it up for our listeners. In the beginning of the book, you describe the practical aspects of developing intuition and connecting to higher energy. But later in the book, you give the beautiful messages that were given to you by three specific angelic guides, and they are called the 33 lessons.
Right. Yeah.
The writing from these messages is quite different from the rest of the book, and it reminds me of when I first started giving messages to my son, Greg. You know what he said to me? He said, "Mom, I don't know where you're getting this stuff from, but you couldn't be making it up." Those were his exact, "You couldn't be making this stuff up."
Yes, I know.
So, Sarah, may I read... This is a very important message that you share in the book, channeled from a guide, so our listeners can hear the quality and tone of the writing.
Sure.
Your life's path, your life's purpose, is what is required by your perfect soul for your perfect soul's growth. It is measured by your earth's heart growth. The ability to see beauty, to have compassion, to know what it is to give and to receive love, to enlarge your heart so much that it contains room for all of humanity, and then to ask to receive more, to make room for all of the holy ones, for room to place yet another Jesus in your heart, yet another Mohammed, yet another saint or ascended master, and then to add in all the other holy ones in the universe, even who you do not know of yet, but who some of you will know in time, to continue to add in everyone, friend, family, enemy, into your heart until your heart is filled to bursting, and then to add another, and to do all this without fear, my friend, without fear, to continually open your heart, for the earth heart bends and breaks, and the earth heart can be wounded. But in each measure of this exists the intention and possibility of it becoming larger, to enlarge itself until it is the size of the universe, which, as you know, is unlimited and unending. Thus, your life purpose is this, your life path is this, to expand your heart until it is the size of the universe. Any other measure of your life's path as to what is your calling, what should you do, this is deeply given to you, for you are unique in your talents and your abilities that you may give to the world. You may affect many, you may affect a few. The number is not what is important, but you must walk in the world with your heart ever compassionate and ever expanding, growing bigger with each day, growing bigger with each day. And you must do this without fear. This is the purpose of your life. It is so beautiful. I cried as you did when I read this, because it's what this show is about and what we are working to share with everyone, the beauty of our life and the world. Mm-hmm. So
when I channeled, you know, that writing, it just came to me every morning, and I would sit on the sofa and the tears would just be pouring down my face. The writing was so beautiful that day. The messaging they brought was so amazing. And even just now, I have chills all over just hearing it again.
Yeah, it's just everything that we are trying to share and learn from spirit and with each other. And I want to tell you something. All channeled writing can be different, but I think if it makes you quiet, or if it makes you cry or feel peaceful, then perhaps you know it's a gift from spirit. And Sarah, you know, this reading that I just did from your book, it is at the end of your book. I picked it up somewhere in the middle, and I knew I had to share this. But it is repeated again at the end, I believe, by Gabrielle. Gabrielle?
Yes.
So it's in your book two times. And it's important enough to be read over and over again, because it lets us relieve ourselves of the minor issues of our life and to see what is possible if we only allow ourselves to grow and expand. So,
yeah, you know, I had an email today, actually, from a guy in Texas. He said, I've been a logger and a truck driver for 53 years, and he was going to some event in Austin, and the guy he was riding with told him he was reading this book, Riding the Divine, and in the car, one of them read it, some part of it, out loud to the other, and this gentleman, I don't know him, but the person who wrote me, he said that from the minute he heard this messaging, what he said was, and then the synchronicities began. And I think that with channeled writing and this kind of divine receiving, not just in this book, but for all the people that are doing this work and receiving in this way, things just start to shift and change when you're immersed or infused with this vibration and this divine love that comes. It's so incredibly powerful and uplifting and supportive to us as human beings.
So that's what channeling is. It's receiving information from higher energy. And once you understand that, let's go on for a minute to talk about what manifesting is, because it's a little different than channeling, but it's also part of allowing all our spiritual gifts to unfold. So would you tell us something about manifesting?
Sure. Now, manifesting, some people or a lot of people are going to have manifesting on a similar track as law of attraction, which is sort of think for what you want and it will come to you. And that is true. However, my version of manifesting that the guides brought to me is don't manifest without your guides. Like, there's no point in asking for the red Ferrari. You know, you might get it, but if your highest purpose or life's path is to be riding a bicycle, you might as well know what the divine has in store for you or what your highest purpose or highest possibility is before you start asking for things that aren't even going to be what you want.
What you need for your your destiny and life plan. So I'm going to say after you manifest, you're working with divine guidance, and you will start to see if it's correct, because certain signs and clues will come in and help you stay in the flow. And some of these signs will be, as you mentioned in your book, electronic messages such as songs and commercials, phone calls or emails, repeated messages, names, places, synchronicities, coincidences. I actually started with all that, but now I realize that for other people, maybe I was manifesting without being aware of it and got the answers that way. But what we want our listeners to know is, yes, there are ground rules for manifesting. Would you like to tell them what they are? You just did when you said you have to manifest what's right for you.
Yes. The first thing would be to ask your guides for what they would want you to manifest. And once that's taken care of, so you know you're on the right path, then you simply ask for what you would like. And the book uses a process using writing.
It's a very, very good process. Very easy to follow.
Yes. Oh, thank you. And then after you've manifested, it's not enough to just have intention. You really need to manifest with your feet and your body and your actions. So the divine will start to give you little clues. Like when you're using a GPS device, they don't always show you the whole directions to the destination all at once. They'll say, you know, turn left on Main Street, and then you turn left. Then they'll say, turn right on Third Avenue, and then you'll turn right. And it's the same thing with the divine. You'll get these little clues for the next step. I call them strands, like little strands that you follow. And then you'll get the next strand for the next step. And so you'll be sort of walking in flow, following each strand to the next place. And this is how your life begins to form.
Instead of Sarah, so it's manifesting the thought that's good for you and others, and then it's the actions, the work. It's not just, it's doing the good deeds, and it's doing what's necessary to make it all come together. And I want to give an example of manifesting and how it works, a very simple example. The other day, I asked to manifest continuous great guests and have them find me and asked to be on the show. And that very same day, I received an email from Dee Wallace, who's the actress from E.T., and she has a new book out. And that same day, I received a email from Bliss. She's a spiritual singer in England who I had met years ago, and I had some trouble finding her, but she will be on the show. And then on the same day, I received an acceptance from Hollis Durand, who's a noted medium and author in California. And might you say, Sarah, that was manifesting in a very positive way and for the highest good of all? Yeah?
Absolutely. And once you get the hang of this manifesting, it almost gets a little scary because things come to fruition so quickly. It's like, oh, I need to be really clear about my thoughts, because the universe is tracking them very nicely, and I know that if I request something, it's just going to show up, you know, much faster than it did a couple years ago.
Now, let's say something else to our listeners. If you manifest something and it doesn't happen, it's possible that it's just not the right time, or it's not correct for you in your life plan, and you cannot manifest for someone else because they might have their own destiny and interpretation of what they need. So you've got to manifest for yourself, and you've got to manifest for the highest good of yourself and others. And it's not like just saying, oh, I can have anything I want. No.
Yes. It's working with the divine for your highest possibility and purpose as you serve the world, and that's what's going to be supported is you working with the divine and the plans that they have for you also. yeah, can't just say, I want a Ferrari and I want a new house, you know.
No.
It's not
right.
Useful.
Yeah, we want our listeners to know that they need to think carefully what would best serve them to bring them greater health and joy and positive interactions with others, because that's what we're here on this earth to do, to have more compassion, connection, and love. That's really what we're here to do, and all our manifestations should be towards that. And I have one more question that I want to get in before the end. We're running a little tight for time now. In the chapter on suffering and bliss, your guide, Constance, says, suffering and bliss are the same, and our paths people choose to bring them to transformation and change. And can you discuss what can be done to shed the dark negative energy such as violence or anger or hatred, and what Jesus and other great beings who brought the same message continually meant by saying, turn the other cheek? I've always thought about what he said, and I always knew he didn't mean just to take another slap. I knew he meant something else. And could you address that?
That was shocking to me, actually, to receive that. They talked about when Jesus said, turn the other cheek, it wasn't about taking another blow. It was about completely detaching and disassociating from the violence and the darkness that blow entailed. Jesus completely turned towards the light and towards the love. He turned the cheek so he would not be associated or part of or involved in that negative energy that was the blow. And that's what I think Constance meant about the suffering and the bliss, is that, like, we're always, as humans, in these emotional waves up and down, and really, it's always a point of choice which energy vibration we're going to choose to go into. If you're in suffering, you always have the choice to go into love at any time. And if you're in love, you do have the choice to go down into suffering. So this idea that we continually in our lives choose up or down, dark or light, where, you know, hey, love, which do you want? And the idea that our best purpose is to choose, to choose love.
Well, I had been saying for the longest time, because I thought about what Jesus had said about turn the other cheek, and I sensed that it meant to not participate and be active where there was wrongdoing. Now, you can't change other people if they're not ready to be changed and if it's their destiny to go through that action. But you can shun such behavior and avoid the manipulation of other human beings or institutions that are working for their own advancement at the expense of others. And I have chosen to do that many times, and it hasn't always been appreciated, because people want you to be part of the peer group and to join in. And those of us who understand that we have a choice to walk away from the darker energy and to be more in the light, make that choice on a continuous basis. And I'm very glad we got to address that in today's show. Sarah, I want to thank you for your presence on Healing From Within today. And for our listeners, for more information on Sarah Wiseman and her three new books, go to www.sarahwiseman.com. And in summarizing today's show, let me just say that many of us realize we are on this planet for our soul's growth. And as we become closer to what is and has always been there for us, higher spiritual energy and the divine laws of the universe, we can manifest what we need for a successful physical life. We can achieve peace and perhaps even heaven on earth, and we can feel happier, safer, and allow ourselves to have a more open and trusting heart. And we can learn to realize that life is always changing, and that change is the only way to expand our life force. We must also begin to realize that the most important reasons for a physical life are connection, compassion, and love, and quite possibly, if we are open and free ourselves of fear, we might learn to be happy and grateful for the life we have. Our life is indeed a blessing, no matter what the challenges or events. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, of Healing From Within, and for more information on energy healing, psychic development, and to listen to other prominent speakers in the field, go to the radio page of my website, www.cherylglick.com.